Good afternoon. Welcome to the presentation of our performance for Q3 2014. Together with us is Mateusz Mazowiecki, CEO, Eamon Crowley, the Head of Financial Control Division, and Mr. Wojciech Skalski, who is the Head of Financial Accounting Area. My name is Agnieszka Dowżycka, and I'm in charge of Investor Relations. Mr. President, over to you.
Thank you.
Today, I would like to run it a bit differently so that we do not repeat the same facts with Eamon. Eamon, in a moment, will provide you with all the data about income, costs, ratios, provisions, and all financial data, while I would like to focus on the key developments in Q3, things that we've completed and things that we continue to work on. The first thing is the consolidation. We completed the process of consolidating Credit Bank into our structures, and that was the key milestone for us. Well, actually, we planned that exactly 2 years ago, that this weekend, on the 27th, we will have the final consolidation. That is the operational merger of the IT systems and the migration of products and clients of the former KB to new platform on the platform of former BZW BK. And that has happened. And the fact that you haven't read anything about newspapers, about any mishaps, that means that the process went very well. That's in technical terms. From clients' perspective, it's all going well because after 10 days from the conversion, we have 150,000 out of 250,000 active electronic banking clients who themselves migrated, converted themselves to the new systems. Similarly, in the case of the branch systems products, one by one, the whole balance sheets that were the 31 billion worth was converted over that weekend. All that went very well, and that's well reflected in our books on a uniform platform. That makes me conclude, in the context of consolidation or integration with Credit Bank, that the synergies that we promised to the market for 2 years, we managed to symbolically, at the end of Q3, deliver is 340 million zloty, if you might remember. And now we try to deliver more. Over the next few months, we will finalize the integration that's called operational merger. As part of that stage, some systems will be decommissioned, and we will have additional savings. Apart from that, apart from what we managed to deliver, 322-340, we will deliver more. As regards income synergies, we are in sync with our plan and schedule. We increased the effectiveness of the former blue branches, as we called them, the former KB branches, to the level of effectiveness of BZW BK branches. When we started with 25% on average for products, for such key products as SME loans, mortgage loans, or consumer finance, not mentioning accounts and deposits, now this is 75%. So halfway is behind us, or maybe three-fourths, as regards leveling the effectiveness across the network. You might imagine that it does not happen overnight. You need training, knowledge of processes, and we need to penetrate client base as well. The second element of the consolidation, as I called it, is the consolidation of our brokerage business. It's another step that you are well aware of. And our clients from the VIP Select database, we would like to provide them with access to brokerage services, as well as to provide the brokerage house clients with different products, like structured products, asset financing, and so on, without not mentioning the widely understood banking proposition. And this process that was approved by KNF, but this is all now registered in court, and we can provide this uniform service and proposition. Thanks to this integration, we will have several extra millions in savings and synergies. And I'm combining that all together. The third element of consolidation is Santander Consumer Bank. It's part of our group since the 1st of July. There are two separate models. And when we took a good look at that, we can assure you that the two propositions are really complementary. Irrespective of the fact that sometimes the branches are next door to one another, we do see a sense of having a separate franchise called SBC. And we look here for synergies in terms of back office, common support functions, common elements like using the client databases when we can do it, really. We also want to commonly use our liquidity and funding position. It's worth recalling one indicator here is the loan-to-deposits ratio for BZWBK. It's 83%. With consumer, it's 91%. So you can see that we have good liquidity position and good funding for our credit growth when we consolidate ourselves with SBC. These processes, even though not so easy in corporate sense, which are difficult in operational sense, very often, month on month, they bring us benefits, both on the income side, in the free areas. Of course, the biggest benefits are seen on the XKB side, but also, so the first strapline is consolidation. The second strapline for our operations is activation, making our client base is more active. And now we have more than 4 million clients, including Credit Bank and including SBC. It's nearly 6 million, 5.8 million clients. But we are very careful and very granular as regards the usage of these databases. We look at individual subgroups in those databases, in our client bases. And we do try to make them more active along a certain curve from the client's perspective and bank's perspective. And irrespective of how much you're interested in the very financial figures, I can tell you that as part of our strategy, Next Generation Bank, this activation of clients goes in different segments, starting with VIP, Select, Mass Affluent, and others, parts of the mass market. This segmentation is something that we view as a huge potential. But strengthening the linkage, we not only want to increase the loyalty of these clients, but each of this group of 5-6 million clients has this linkage ratio, assigned the transactionality ratio with the number of products used and their profitability. All these three elements are attached to each and every client, and each employee in the branch in the SME center can see their portfolios, can manage their portfolios, and tries to upgrade those clients on the value-added ladder. So activation, linkage, relations, that's part of our transactional approach. That's hugely important. I would add to that one more mechanism. We do try to convert clients to electronic channels, to internet banking, mobile banking. We are bank number two on the market as regards the number of transactions in mobile channels and internet channel. The ratio of automatic transactions to paper transactions in branches is at 93%. A year ago, it was 89%. So you can see that by activating clients in a widely understood manner, I have in mind both the upgrade of the relations with these clients along the curve, as well as the modernization of our approach and using our achievements in the area of technology. The first strapline, development, both in the banking for largest corporations like GBM. We are definitely in the first league with two or three banks. We do compete for each or more complex investments in this country. We structure financial lending lines for financing different infrastructural investments. And given the EU perspective for 2015, as you know, this has not really manifested itself in the public spend. We believe that this will allow us to fuel the credit growth across the sector, and we are ready to support our clients and Polish economy in this respect. This is best reflected by the use of the de minimis guarantees and Mieszkanie dla Młodych, the Home for the Young program, supported by Gospodarstwa Krajowego, State Treasury. So we are very active in these areas. This is also reflected by the credit growth in other areas. When I'm talking about development growth, what I have in mind is the growth in the balance sheet, which is now 130 billion, and we have a strong third position, and we are just behind number two on the market. We have the lending growth at the two-digit pace, and we want to have it at two-digit growth also next year, believing that we will always outpace the market by 3 or 4%. Sometimes this growth is masked by our quite flat yield curve for property loans. Well, 6 years ago, we had 15 billion worth of these loans, in our portfolio. Now it's 8 billion. If 12 or 13% does not grow or declines, this has an impact on the overall growth in the portfolio. As regards mortgage loans, we are number four because we keep viewing this product as not super profitable. So from the point of view of investors and sound approach on the market, we want our margins to be higher, and we increase our margins on mortgage loans month on month. Consumer finance has been our strength for the recent 3 or 4 years. And we actually have here a bigger footprint than our natural one. And this is highly profitable. We have highly linked clients here, engaged clients. And this is well linked with insurance products, which are a very important non-interest income contributor. So the growth in loans on the one hand, on the other hand, as never before, we actually developed our deposit business. We won deposits worth 5 billion from the market, and quarter on quarter, our market share increased by 130 basis points. I don't know whether any bank has ever seen such a growth. I asked Agnieszka to check it twice. 130 basis points. That's our growth in the market share. Having this huge liquidity, we want to use it in three or four main areas. Once, because of the falling interest rates environment and the interest rate cuts, the deposits will reprice at different levels. On the other hand, the active sales of investment funds of different types, our ARKA is here a good contributor with its good performance. The third channel are the structured products of different types. And we can see here growth quarter on quarter by several percent as compared to previous periods. And the fourth, last but not least, the most important channel, we use this high liquidity for our credit growth, as I mentioned already. In the context of restructuring, it is worth saying that we nearly completed that in terms of the employment. Without mass redundancies, we reduced the employment by 2,000 people via natural leaves over the period of the recent 2 years, and that actually allowed us to generate good cost synergies. We have good relationships with trade unions. We don't have any major HR problems or the ones that would be worth mentioning here. At the same time, the third quarter was the quarter of assets quality review and EBA stress tests. And we went through the test not only with dry food, but even strengthened. I don't know whether there are many banks in Europe, or maybe there is none, that stress tests actually lead to the growth in their capital by 100 basis points. There are two other banks in Poland out of 15 reviewed by KNF that their capital increased by several basis points. But in our case, this growth is 100 basis points in the most adverse scenarios. So in all the stress conditions, we keep generating profits. We are profitable. And as a result, our capital grows. The impact, the potential impact of AQR review on our provisions will be minimum or none, depending on whether some exposures are repaid before the year end or not, because that's something in the air still. But even if we should top up provisions by some marginal amounts, that wouldn't have any major impact on our overall provision position, which will be roughly in the order of the provision charge will be roughly around 100 basis points. That was at the end of quarter three, and that will be at the end of quarter four as well. Summarizing, looking at the regulatory environment, our clients, it becomes more and more demanding. But we've went through this regulatory exercise called IQR and stress tests, and we went through that strengthened in the perception of the investors who contact us. We are well perceived as the bank with strong capital, with good liquidity, ready for further expansion in the environment where GDP is to grow at the level of 3%. In the environment where the first 10 billions of funds from EU regional funds, agricultural fund, will start to flow and trigger the level of public investment. So we want to continue use our power. We are well positioned today for further growth, as I mentioned. Trying to introduce you to our performance. The consolidation that has happened, that is our big cost synergies of consolidation with of Credit Bank, SCB, and Brokerage House. We want to make our client bases more active. We want to slice and dice them. Again, I'm just coming here from a big data conference. I was one of the panelists there. And believe me, that's the future of ours as well. As we do invest in management of information, and we want to actually equip the 6 million of clients with the biggest number of products. So we are really customer-centric. We also want to grow with very sound foundations, sound capitals, with very good prospects for quarter four and for subsequent quarters in 2015. That's all from myself. Just a snapshot of our organization. Let me hand over to Eamon and present to you more detailed financial performance of ours.
Hey, thank you, Mateusz. I'll just turn your attention to slide 22 in the presentation. Just to state here that the presentation of the profit and loss and the balance sheet on a comparative basis is a challenge, as this is the first quarter where we're presenting the consolidated BZ Rubica Group, including Santander Consumer Finance results for quarter three. This will get somewhat easier in future quarters as we compare the quarter-on-quarter numbers and demonstrate the progress that the President has outlined across all P&L and balance sheet lines. On slide 22, you'll see that the SCB has brought 13.5 billion of additional gross loans to the balance sheet to reach gross loans of over 90 billion, or a 23% growth year on year. I've focused over the last number of quarters on the performing loan book. And for BZWBK, it has increased by 5.2% year on year and nearly 8% year to date. And when you break this down into the key segments that we focus on, SME loans, leasing and factoring have increased by nearly 16% year on year. Corporate loans and GBM, when you exclude property, have increased by 11%. Personal credit that's covering cash loans, overdrafts and credit cards are up 8%, and the mortgage book has increased by 2.1%, but the key message here is that the Polish Zloty mortgage book has increased by 10% and the FX book has reduced by 6%, and that equates to 200 million Swiss francs lower by way of exposure on the Swiss franc book. In SCB's case, its gross loan book is broken down into car loans and stock finance of 2.2 billion, consumer finance, which is cash loans and credit cards, of 6.4 billion, and it has a reducing mortgage book, currently 5 billion. Gross loans have increased by 5% year on year, but most importantly, performing loans, when you exclude mortgages, have increased by 18% year on year and 6% year to date. So very, very good performance by SCB, both at the end of last year and coming into this year. If we turn to slide 23, we can see that SCB has brought an additional 6.5 billion of deposits to the bank, leaving us with a deposit book, consolidated deposit book, of 93 billion, or 22% growth year on year. Excluding the impact of SCB, total deposits increased by 13.5% and 10% quarter on quarter, as we continue to grow our personal deposit business, with current account balances up 22% year on year, which highlights increasing connectivity with our customers and transactions. And a significant increase in our term deposit balance during August and September with our four-month deposit designed to gather new customers and new funds, which totaled 3.8 billion to the end of September. The purpose here, as outlined by the President, is to cross-sell the customers we've acquired into current accounts, credit cards and ARCA funds. And we're seeing the benefit of that already, particularly with regard to current accounts and credit cards. We've also experienced very good growth in our corporate deposit book, again due to increased transactional activity and volumes through our full relationship banking approach. As mentioned by the President, the consolidated loan deposit ratio is 91%. The standalone bank loan deposit ratio is around 83%. Our liquidity coverage ratio and our net stable funding ratio are well above 100% and are stable and in a very safe position. So we're in compliance with all regulatory requirements in that regard. And as mentioned by Mateusz, we want to develop our deposit business even further as we go forward and see it as being key to regard to the acquisition, retention and activity of customers within the bank. If I turn your attention to slide 24, the year-to-date net interest income was 2.9 billion, which is 21% or 511 million higher year on year. The quarter three net interest income was 1.15 billion, 27% or 248 million higher versus quarter two. When you exclude the impact of SCB, net interest income has increased by 10.4% year on year or 250 million. But has reduced quarter on quarter by 1.3% to 893 million. That's a reduction of 12 million. The net interest margin, when you include swap points in our hedge position, was 4.07% in quarter three. That's an increase of 48 basis points versus quarter three and 48 basis points versus quarter three last year, 2013, and 35 basis points versus quarter two, 2014. The increase was obviously as a result of the consolidation of SCB, and when you exclude this, the net interest margin was 3.59% in quarter three, a reduction of 13 basis points quarter on quarter and flat year on year. As noted at the first half results presentation, the quarter-on-quarter reduction was expected and has been driven by reducing VIBOR rates, particularly in September, which affect the repricing of loans, the increase in the level of deposit funding, which we will offset by cross-sell activities, and you'll see this in our fee line as we move through the quarters, and we also have a reducing yield on our bond portfolio. We expect the net interest margin to reduce in the coming quarters given the reduction in the reference and Lombard interest rates in early October and the possible further interest rate reductions in November and December. We will work to offset this impact over the medium term by increasing our actions on the lending side, and we've demonstrated that across the elements of our portfolio, and through activating our hedge positions with regard to our interest rate exposure. If we just turn to slide 25. Net fees have been influenced by the consolidation of SCB, which delivered 44 million of fees to this line, and also the consolidation of the insurance subsidiaries, which had an impact of transferring 28 million to other income lines. Adjusting for these two impacts, underlying net fees and commissions were 4% higher year on year and 5% higher quarter on quarter. And given the reduction in interchange fees, this, I think, is a very good result, particularly with regard to the quarter-on-quarter increase. Growth in quarter three was driven by net loan fees, which were up 12% year-on-year in connection with increased lending, FX fees up 12% year-on-year, driven by increased customer transactions, and growth in credit card fees and related income. Adjusting for the JV consolidation impact, underlying insurance income was up 23% year-on-year as well. Card fees were impacted by lower interchange fees, which resulted in a net 20 million of lower income in quarter three. We have benefited from higher credit card fees, where sales are performing very well. We've sold 142,000 credit cards year to date, of which 52,000 of those were sold in quarter three. And transaction volumes continue to grow, which were up 15% year on year and 3% quarter on quarter. Customer and other income, this is made up of current account fees and FX fees. It increased by 3% year on year due to the increase in FX fees, which I've mentioned, but have been offset by a 4% reduction in current account fees due to the free of charge account worth recommending product, where we've attracted 300,000 new customers year to date in 2014. So again, it ties into exactly where what the President was talking about, attracting customers, activating them, getting fees, cross-selling. Capital market fees increased by 8% quarter-on-quarter, with growth on asset management and brokerage income. The lower year-on-year fee was influenced by lower brokerage fees, down 22%, influenced by the sale of BZ Vubica shares in quarter one last year. And assets under management have increased by 9%, but the net fee is down 1% year on year due to the mix of lower fee generating funds. The key message here is that the quarter on quarter income is growing, and the year on year income, while reducing up to the end of quarter three, we'll see that turning as volume increases in this side. And also the consolidation of the brokerage business into our bank, where we are mainly a retail brokerage operation, will assist greatly in the coming years. Slide 26. Gains and losses on financial transactions totaled 119 million year to date. That's an increase of 3 times quarter on quarter and a reduction of 72% year on year. This was made up of gains of 57 million related to the sale. Gains of 57 million, of which 14 million relates to the sale of an equity stake, which we realised in quarter one, and 54 million was recognised on the sale of investment bonds, of which 13 million was recorded in quarter three. This is 233 million lower year on year. There was also a year to date gain of 52.7 million on net trading and revaluation. As I mentioned at the last results, I expected a better performance in this line in the coming quarters, and that is still the case. We should mention here that included in this number is a 14 million negative revaluation on the euro-based put option, and a further 15 million loss relating to the first day loss on the call option. Both of these items are temporal and are subject to the sale of the 17% shareholding of both insurance JVs, which Aviva have decided to acquire. These transactions are subject to regulatory approval, so the reversal of those amounts will not occur until the deals actually close. There's 8 million of trading income, which is related to the insurance subsidiaries, which is reported in other income. and there's a net trading and revaluation amount of 58 million, which is an increase of 10% year on year, and the main element of this relates to FX and derivative transactions, reflecting the volatile market environment. So this line has performed very well in quarter three, and as mentioned, I expect it to continue in future quarters. I should mention a dividend. There's dividends of 80 million, which were received in the first half of the year, with no dividend receipts in quarter three. Other income increased to 234 million. This is due to the influence of the insurance subsidiary consolidation. While the net effect of the consolidation on the result is minimal, the presentation of the consolidation under IFRS rules is reflected in the profit and loss as follows. Other income is higher by 140 million, 140. We've higher net interest income of 9 million. We've lower insurance fees of 39 million. We've lower gains on financial transactions and other by 8 million. General admin expenses are higher by 23, and we have a higher depreciation and amortization number by 64 million. We also made gains of 9 million on the sale of property assets. In the earlier part of the year, we received a VAT refund of 12 million relating to leasing. We reduced our legal provisions by 15 million. And there's also a gain of just under 4 million relating to the consolidation of SCB. If you exclude these, the other income was stable. And indeed, once the insurance sales occur, life will become a little bit more easier with regard to how we present the insurance business. It'll become an equity interest of 49% in each of the JVs. But we have to wait for those transactions to close. If I just turn your attention to slide 27. Total costs year-to-date were 2.24 billion, which includes SCB costs of 131.7 million, integration costs of 134 million, and the impact of the insurance consolidation, which totaled 87 million. So just to give you those, SCB costs 131.7 million, integration 134 million, and the insurance consolidation 87. If you strip out these costs, the underlying cost base was 1.895 million, or billion, I should say, which is 0.3% lower year on year. With regard to staff costs, when you exclude the impact of integration and subsidiaries, staff costs were 5% lower year on year. And under the merger plan, we've reduced our headcount by around 570 FTEs in 2014. With regard to general and admin expenses, excluding the impact of the integration costs and subsidiaries, general and admin costs were 5.5% higher. The increase was driven by an increase in regulatory costs, up 60%, marketing costs, which were up 84%, and this is where the bank continues to invest in its brand through widespread advertising campaigns. There was also an increase in consultancy costs of 22%, related to strategic projects, one of which is the merger of the brokerage house with the bank, and IT costs were influenced by the addition of SCB. Underlying depreciation and amortization costs are lower year on year, but as mentioned, they are influenced by the insurance consolidation, which impacts it by 63 million. And in this line, SCB accounts for 10 million as well. As mentioned by Matthias, the annualised cost savings arising from the merger are currently running at 341 million, versus the target next year of 340 million. And just to remind everyone, that's when you compare our cost base to the pro forma 2011 position. And I'll provide more information on that at the year end. Year-to-date integration costs, as mentioned, were 134 million, of which 24 million was recorded in quarter three. Quarter four integration costs will be higher, as we reflect the higher costs related to the closure of the operational merger in October, and we will also have additional costs relating to the closure of property leases. This may bring the total 2014 integration cost spend to around 215 million. 215 million. But I should stress, the benefits of this additional cost will arise in 2015, 16 and 17 with lower property costs related to closing of rental agreements. Okay, on slide 28, the year-to-date provision charge is 552 million, which is flat year on year. When you impact the SCB, or the influence of SCB, which added 28 million to the provision charge, the underlying provision charge is 5% lower. The year-to-date provision for identified losses, this is individual and collective, was 624 million, which is an increase of 231 million quarter on quarter, including SCB. Provisions derive mainly from a mixture of widely spread small individual cases in retail and SME. And it should be noted there's a year-to-date release of IBNR provisions for unidentified losses of a net 40 million, which relates to the mortgage book. The annualised provision charge is 97 basis points. When you exclude SCB, it's 92 basis points. The coverage ratio increased to almost 65%. When you exclude SCB, it's 58%. The NPL ratio is at 7.96, or nearly 8%. When you exclude SCB, it's 7.5%. The sale of NPL portfolios totaled 182 million year to date, of which 53 million was sold in quarter three. This led to a positive year-to-date tax impact of 1.9 million, of which 1 million of a loss was recognised in quarter three. There was no SCB sales, NPL sales in quarter three. The underlying provision charge is within the normal range, and as mentioned by the President, we do not see a material increase in the level of provisions arising from the AQR tests. However, we do forecast an increase in the level of provisions in quarter four relating to SCB, which has benefit from NPL sales and IBNR adjustments during 2014, and also additional provisions on old BZ Vubica NPL cases, which are in exit mode. On slide 29, the year-to-date profit before tax is 1.938 billion, which is 15% higher year on year. When you exclude integration costs and the impact of SCB, which delivered 149 million of pre-tax profit, the profit before tax is 8% higher year on year. The effective tax rate for quarters 1 to 3 is 20%. Slide 31. Excluding integration costs of 134, as mentioned, the cost-income ratio was 44.6%. Our total solvency ratio, based on Basel III rules, after providing for a 50% dividend payment on consolidated profit, is 13.4%, with a Tier 1 ratio of 12.3%. We managed to achieve an ROE excluding integration costs of 17.4%. When you exclude the impact of the bank assurance transaction in quarter four of last year, the ROE, or return on equity, is 15%. So in summary, the quarter three results for the consolidated group highlight we've increased our net interest income by over half a billion, and we've increased our net interest margin to 4.07%. Underlying growth of 4% in our fee and commissions line, which is directly benefiting from increased lending, the positive impact of the merger and increased customer transaction volumes. And this, as I said, reflects good performance in an environment where interchange fees have reduced. So we've actually increased our fees quarter on quarter. Core income has performed well with a 21% increase year on year. And this is offsetting the lower level of bond gains that we've made this year versus last year. As stated in before, the core trading activity has recovered, and there are temporal items which we expect to reverse in time. We have a very effective cost management situation and staff costs, offset by a temporary increase in discretionary spending in marketing consultancy and the impact of SCB. So again, a good performance there. Stable performance on the provision line, leading to 97 basis points annualised charge and 92% core for BZWBK. Performing loans are up 7.7%, with good performance across all segments, and we have a strong solvency and liquidity position. So all of these taken together, including the fact that we've doubled our balance sheet size in the last 2 years, bodes well for the future by way of the growth of the group and our further expansion. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much, and we are ready to answer your questions. Do you have any questions? Iza Rokicka,
regarding the consolidation of Santander Consumer Bank. I'm wondering, looking quarter on quarter, the value of goodwill has not increased on the consolidated balance sheet. You are showing on the table in the report on page 47 that the goodwill on Santander Consumer Bank is roughly almost 700 million. How this goodwill was settled in the balance sheet?
Technically, there is no goodwill on the acquisition of Santander Consumer Bank, as under the respective accounting standard, this is the reorganization within the group, the bigger Santander group, so it's just a change of the ownership within the same group. So the difference between the net assets acquired and the issue of the share price that were used for this acquisition was recognized as a negative impact directly in equity. So the number that you can see in the table is just a negative entry in our equity directly, without any recognition of goodwill.
Okay, but this kind, I'm not very familiar with the accounting rules, but whether does it suggest that actually you accounted this goodwill as a loss? Because if you are deducting directly from the equity, you somehow do it the same as the impairment of the goodwill.
And not really. The first thing is that the goodwill arises on comparison of the price paid and the fair value of net assets. And because this is the reorganization within the group, you do not do fair valuation. So actually, this business was acquired at the book value from that perspective. Yeah, whereas the shares were issued at the market. So the difference is not necessarily representing the difference between the fair value of net assets. If we fair value the assets, it will be much higher and there might be no goodwill at all. So it's a different concept.
But okay.
It's just because we are moving the net assets at the book value from one place to another, we shouldn't recognize any goodwill at this occasion.
Okay, thank you. And just continue on this M&A or the organization of the BZWBK group. I would like to ask about this exercise of the option by Aviva on the insurance income. I do understand that this transaction is conditional under the regulatory approval, but could you please indicate what is the exercise price of this option and what is expected impact on the balance bank's results?
Our position here is we haven't disclosed the conditions of the transaction. We will do so when the regulator approves the transaction. There's still some uncertainty with regard to that particular aspect.
So it's that the final price of the exercises of this option is unknown?
There are other elements with regard to, it's not just the exercise price that will drive the ultimate number that we will reflect in our financials. And on that basis, it would be misleading to say what the exercise price will be.
Okay, and should we assume that this price is significantly different than the exercise price in the option that bank has, and which price was disclosed?
No, it's not that the exercise price will be different. The way it will be reflected in our books will be different. I.e., the value of the JVs, the value of the JVs will increase once the transaction is approved. And we will sell 17% of an increased value of the JVs back to Aviva. So for the purpose of a common approach. We have not disclosed that. There is uncertainty with regard to the transaction because it is subject to approval, and we will disclose it when the transaction is closed.
Okay, and the final price on question, sorry, and the final question on this reorganization of the capital group. Could we please get an update on the transaction of the sale of asset management business? When is expected to happen, and whether over this time the price has changed?
The situation is that that transaction is from an approval perspective and an engagement perspective, that is managed by the buyer, not the seller. And at this moment, we are waiting.
Yes, but it's between related parties, so I'm guessing that you have an insight.
Well, to be technically correct, the acquirer is Santander Asset Management, which is a 50-50 JV between Santander and external parties. So it's not related because neither party have control.
Okay, thank you.
Do you have any other questions? Marcin, the floor is yours. In the media, there is information that you are working with your mortgage clients. I mean, those who have Swiss franc loans. You are talking with them on an earlier currency conversion. Is it based on any concerns on your part? No. We do not have any concerns in this respect. We have simply sent several thousands of our customers some proposals of an early repayment or prepayment of their Swiss franc loans at the average NBP FX rate, which is much more preferable option to those customers. In the case of a repayment, some of those customers who had some financial surpluses have availed of this proposal. Not many of them, but some of them did really use this option. I have two questions. One refers to the cost of risks. The president has mentioned that we can expect 100 basis points throughout the year. After the first three quarters, it was at the level of 94%. Does it mean that you expect an increase in your provision cover at the end of this year? This is my first question. And the second question refers to the Lombard-related exposure. What part of BZWBK loans and what part of Santander consumer loans is at the level of 100%? The first question is 0.97 in the first quarter, and I have mentioned that this will oscillate around this number. It may be 97%, it may be 98%. Those differences are immaterial, really. Talking in reference to your second question, do we disclose this data? No, we do not publish it. Therefore, I cannot really give you this data. In general, the sensitivity related to the interest rate is that the decrease by 100 basis points is a decrease by 100 million, but this is more or less so. Talking about the Lombard rate, well, I can tell you that our actual book turnover is 19 months. This is the pricing of the entire book, I would say, and I can add to this that, well, in this context, the level of interest is one of the parameters related to the product profitability. The other component are provisions. The other components are fees. Does this guidance of 100 BIPs, 100 million, does it refer to SCB also? No, it refers to BZWBK. I cannot say the same in the case of SCB.
Given their higher exposure to consumer lending, have a higher sensitivity. Yes.
higher proportionately, but proportionately. Not proportionately, because they have much lower balance sheet, so, and much lower book.
Ja bym jednak poprosił w świetle.
Given the fact that the impact of the Lombard rate on Santander NCB is immaterial, and given the current sale of Meritum, based on given the parameters of the applied by earlier, 3x profit, this is quite a low price. Can you, in this context, can you please quantify this somehow for SCB? Assuming that quite a big portion of the SCB portfolio will have a lower interest rate, and given a limited number of some remediation actions, there will be quite a big decrease of Santander profit. I can refer to this, I can respond to this in the following manner. In general, I would not expect a very high decrease of profit, as you might imagine, and you are very well aware of the workings of all those mechanisms underlying those processes. We have specific parameters. We have levels of risks and levels of profitability assigned to individual customer segments. Anytime a loan was available at lower rates, the first defense mechanism is to increase margins for those customers who to date have had the margin of 9, now they will have the margin of 10%, and the regulatory cap stands at 10%. In general, the MPC, when cutting the Lombard rate, actually wanted to strengthen the lending activity in terms of consumer finance. But at the same time, it represents a kind of obstacle, and it really decreases profitability for many banks. Another parameter that can be applied by banks is the non-interest income. There is some room in relation to credit fees. We also generate income from insurance products that are related or directly or indirectly to credit facilities. This way we can compensate for the missing income related to the lower Lombard rate. Santander Consumer Bank is following a similar policy. Eamon, would you like to add anything to this?
Well, just you know, the year-to-date PBT for Santander Consumer is over 400 million. It's 416 million. It's grown by 23% year on year. You can see the growth of their portfolio has been quite impressive. They also have nearly 50% of the durable or installment loan market, the significant share of the cash loan market as well by way of their presence. And the previous rate reductions, they were able to offset it by other mechanisms, both lower funding costs and also fee income initiatives. And the last thing I'd mention with regard to our perspective is you will note from the valuation we applied and the multiples we applied to the business when we agreed a price at the end of last year, it was at a much lower PBT level. So we've headroom within our acquisition price to cover short-term impacts on SCB, and its positioning in the market is perfect by way of the connectivity, as I mentioned, market share, and the connectivity to a larger group where we can provide benefits of cheaper funding, etc. So overall, a short-term challenge, but a medium-term ability to outcome the challenges of lower interest rates.
Do you have any other questions?
The integration cost target for this year, which is not an issue, of course, because you are referring to some rentals that you are going to exit, and that would create obviously more recurrent cost containment or cost cutting opportunity next year. So would you give us an update on the 2015 target? Because obviously it will be exceeded in terms of your cost saving versus 2011 pro forma base. Just by how much is the unknown?
Sure. With respect to 2015, the level of integration costs relating to the merger will be insignificant. Not material.
I have one more question.
How much Santander Consumer Bank contributed to the pre-tax profit exactly? 149.
Financial statements.
Okay. I takie bardzo ogólne pytanie, bo...
And a very general question. It seems to me...
That's
minorities. Okay. Yeah.
So you have to consider it after minorities for the bank.
The growth of deposits was very strong in the fifth quarter, and this has obviously impacted the margins, not on your banks, but also on the market, I guess. My question is, what do you expect for the next quarters? Would you be coming down from this excess liquidity, or do you expect that the volumes of deposits will still be growing from this level? And also, what sort of direction do you expect for loan to deposit at Santander Consumer Bank, because it increased materially?
Okay, so the I'll take Santander Consumer Bank first. So on slide 37, you'll see a profile of their funding position. So it's the last slide on the presentation. You can see that they're 51% funded by time deposits. The most important thing to look at here is bonds and asset-backed securities, where they've increased their funding by way of a securitisation. So they've had the additional headroom to reduce their time deposits because they've funded by way of securitisation. That's the main driver there. The nature of Santander Consumer Bank is that it is term funded. Its average duration of its funding is over 1 year. It has, you know, 2 and 3 year term deposits, and has bond issuances out to 3 years. So it has a different type of balance sheet to the bank, and will never be, you know, over 100% funded by deposits. With regard to your first question, you know, the recent campaign that we mentioned was a 4 month deposit campaign. You know, those deposits will mature from December through January and into February. Naturally, we may not be able to retain all of those deposits because they may have a price sensitivity to them. But the key drive here is for us to build relationships with those customers by way of movement into ARCA funds or current account or credit card activity. So I'd expect in the next... by December, we should be okay by way of deposit volumes. I don't expect them to fall greatly, and then we'll see where we go with the first quarter. But we also have ambitions to lend and grow our balance sheet, and deposits are a better financial proposition by way of stability than just going to the wholesale market.
I have a question to Mr. President. You have mentioned that the existing credit margins on the mortgage loan market are not that attractive and that you expect a further growth there. I personally, I have heard opinions that given the low interest rate environment and the low Lombard rate, the mortgage loans are getting more and more attractive for banks, more attractive than cash loans, for example. So you are presenting quite a different view on this issue. The question is, at what level of margins on mortgage loans the bank would be much more willing to sell more loans? Our bank is a very open bank to this market. We are selling mortgage loans worth 1 billion per quarter. This is, we are number 4 on the market in this area. Secondly, the profitability of mortgage loans have improved quite significantly by 1.5% over the period of the last 12-18 months. The average margins, well, probably we should not quote them, but they fluctuate around the level of 2% for us. We are calculating the liquidity costs, the risk charge, and our operating costs. We are calculating all those items quite precisely, and we can imagine at what margins that portfolio can be more and more profitable. And we have undoubtedly reached the break even. Each and every loan sold by your bank is sold at positive margins. From the perspective of the capital, and liquidity. We have to remember that any time we sanction a mortgage loan, we are linked to this very loan for 25, 30 years at quite a low margin compared to the UK or the Spanish market, from where we have quite a lot of information and many benchmarks. Respective of the fact that our mortgage loans seem to be more and more profitable, they should be even more profitable. And I do not fully agree with the fact that the consumer loan with the risk charge of 3% and the margin of 9% is less profitable with the duration of 12 months. It should not be less profitable than the mortgage loans. They are much more profitable. However, the social value of mortgage loans is much, much higher, and we would like the Polish market to be as healthy as possible. And the last question from myself. At the end of September, in the bank's capital, you had about 500 million capital related to the valuation of bonds. In the light of the lowering interest rates, do you expect any decrease of the rates in November? Given the expected decrease of the rates in November, do you expect any change of your position in terms of the bonds portfolio?
But within our bond portfolio, we have hedge positions, for instance, on our current account balances. And that is the area where you're primarily impacted by lower rates. So it depends on market conditions, but they are hedges. An element of that book is a hedge on that exposure.
Czy są jeszcze jakieś pytania?
Do you have any other questions? If there are no questions, I will read a couple of questions sent by our internet users. All those who view us through webcast, Michał Konarski.
Of the new easing cycle on your net interest margin?
Well, we've given an indication of what the impact is of a 1% reduction. So if you take that for the bank, which has about a 3.5 billion net interest income line, it is about 6 basis points. However, we'll have to wait and see if there's further action with regard to the Lombard rate, etc., in the next month or two.
Okay. And the next question is, previously you guided to a cost of risk approximately 90 bps for BZWBK standalone. The guidance for Q4 is now 100 bps, including SCB. What else has changed at BZW other than the consolidation of SCB? Also, what level should we expect for the group for the next year?
Well, as indicated, I indicated at the during that section that by way of our provision charge, we'd expect it to be higher than it has been in quarter three. It is influenced somewhat by way of SCB, by way of their positive performance through the previous three quarters. And also, we have a number of old cases, let's say, that may require some top-up, non-AQR-related.
Thank you. To było już ostatnie pytanie. Bardzo Państwu.
Thank you. That was the last question. Thank you for being here with us. Thank you for viewing and watching us via the internet. Thank you, and I wish you a very good day. Thank you. Bye. Thank you.